There's so many things that I've looked over. There's so many things that I've missed. There's so many things through the scripture. I think we can say that about every book. But as I've read this book, one of the things that has just stuck out to me is the amount of people that have been influenced by the gospel in this day and age, and how down through time, the same gospel continues to influence people in a mighty way. And one of the great things that I've taken away from this is it's helped me to really think about. And we discussed this Wednesday night in our Bible study. Paul is speaking to us as a church. And one of the things that I walked away from is that Paul was so unworthy to do the things that God asked him to do. Just like you and I, right? Unworthy, not worthy of the things that God has done in our lives. But Paul was someone so much even in less deserving. Does anybody remember what he used to do? He used to kill Christians for a living, right? That was what he did. He persecuted the early believers, and he would stand back and let others do his work, and he would call crowds together to stone believers in the street, and he would put to death those who were calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And so one of the things I walk away from with this book is that if God can use Paul, think of what he can do with us. If God can use somebody who was so fanatical against his own things, if God can use someone who is so fanatical against Jesus Christ, think about what he can do with us in this day and age. And God has a purpose and a plan for you, and I hope that you have seen this through the book of Romans. I'm going to read this morning the entire chapter 16, but I'm going to give a disclaimer. I'm not a perfect practicer of Greek names, so it's okay to laugh as we go through them, and if we mess them up, it's okay this morning. But I'm going to read down through those. Starting in verse 1. I commend you, our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask that you receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend, Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Amphletus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodon, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Verse 17 says, then I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them. This is very important. For such people are not serving the Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience. So I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my dear co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality and I, the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus sends you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ, Amen. Wow, is that a mouthful this morning? Well, wow, there's some difficult things that are tackled here that I want us to tackle this morning and to think through. And I want to kind of lay the groundwork. Paul is trying to bring Romans to a close. He's trying to finish his letter. And he finds it very difficult to bring to an end because there's always more things that need to be said. Anybody a letter writer? And when you're writing, man, it's sometimes hard to close it because there's more that you want to say. Or maybe you're doing this, maybe like a parent sending their child off for the first time. I love one of the commercials, the Visa commercial, where the guy's giving the car and he's loading it all up and he's packing his daughter's stuff up. I don't know if you remember this. And then right when he taps on the window, she rolls it out, he hands her the Visa, right? And she drives off with the car loaded down. Because there's always one more thing to say and there's always one more thing to do. Like if you're going out of town, you leave a list. Not too long ago, we had someone watching our dog. And so I did a whole list. She likes this. She doesn't like this. Right? Anybody besides Ivan, right? And you lay the whole thing out. If you let her out, she will run, right? If you leave food around, she will eat, right? So we leave these lists because it seems like when we're trying to close things out sometimes, there's always one more thing that needs to be said. And Paul is writing to these churches, and he's saying to them, listen to what I'm saying to you. There are some things that we need to address. There's some things that need to be tackled this morning. And he encourages them. Number one, he says, stay away from evil and evil influences. Stay away from them. And he portrays some of the characteristics of people who damage churches and were causing disruptions. And his authority is revealed when he warns the believers in Rome about the menace of divisive people. Now, if I ask you this morning, how many of you are divisive people? I don't think anybody in this room would raise their hand, right? But if I ask you, how many of us know divisive people? Where are my hands at, right? We all know someone who's divisive. And it may be a family member. It may be a coworker. It may be a neighbor. It may be someone that just has a hard time getting along with anyone. There's divisive people all around us. And Paul is warning us about divisions in the church. And then at the end, he blesses believers. And he says, stay with God's amazing grace. So I want to give you three things this morning. Number one is this. Distance yourself from division. Let me say it again. Distance yourself from division. If you want to write something down, that's the first thing to write down. Closure to Romans begins with this final word of warning in verse 17. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. And then he says these short four words. Keep away from them. Let me say that one more time. He says, keep away from them. Listen, he is giving us teaching this morning that we have to be careful of who we saddle up with. Let me say that one more time. I don't think y'all heard me. Paul's giving us warning this morning that we have to be careful who we get involved in things with. And throughout the scripture, we see this. He's saying, be careful about who you team up with. Be careful about who you connect with. Be careful about who you pour your heart out to. My mentor and former youth minister did a message one time on vision killing. And he came out with this giant spray can. It had a label on it that said vision killer. And have anybody ever met a vision killer? And you share your vision with them. You say, man, I feel like this is God's opening this door. And all of a sudden it's like they got that can and they're just like, and they're just hosing you down with it, right? Killing that vision. And here's how it starts. Are you serious? You can never do that. Right? You ever had anyone ever tell you can never do something? Thank you. You can't do it. What? Or how about this? Seriously? What were you thinking? Right? Vision killer. And they're just spraying it all over everything to let people know that, you know what? You're not good enough to really do something like that. God would never call someone like you to do that. I mean, really? Seriously? And they just get out that can of vision kill and they're just hosing things down. Listen, he's warning us this morning to watch out for spiritual enemies. He defines those enemies that are divisive and seek to hinder the Lord's work. And that's something that needs to stick out this morning in your mind, that they seek to hinder the Lord's work. Listen, if you feel like God is leading you down a path, and every time you turn around, somebody's telling you, you can't do that, and you know that God has put that in your heart. Man, maybe you need to think about that relationship and moving on, because Paul says to us, keep away from them. to move away from divisive people, those who put obstacles in their way. We always say this a lot around Bayside Church. If don't let it be an obstacle, let it be a what? Opportunity. Don't let it be an obstacle. But if every time you turn around, there's someone who's an obstacle in your path, and it's the same person, maybe it's time to keep away from them. I want to share this with you this morning. The New American Standard Version says this: "Now I urge you, brethren, keep an eye on those who cause dissension and hindrances." Keep an eye on them. A lot of us work in the school system, and you'll have people come to you Sunday. They're like, "Keep an eye on that one," right? Maybe some of you at your jobs, you know, you're training someone, or they'll come and say, "You need to keep an eye on that one. You need to watch that one," right? And there's always a reason that we need to keep an eye on that one. But the Bible's telling us in this passage to keep an eye on them, looking out. This is what it means: observing with intensity. Think about that for a moment. Looking at something with intensity. And the Greek form of this word is where we get the term scope, or microscope, or telescope. Anybody ever heard the phrase, "You're under the microscope"? Maybe that's your boss, right? You're always under his microscope. Or maybe that's your spouse. You're always under the microscope. It simply means this: to look at, to examine, to scrutinize carefully, to be put under the microscope so that you can see a greater picture of it. And Paul writes in this to keep an eye on them. Don't let dissensions and factions cause division among the church. And here's what I love about this. Who is he speaking to? Who's he writing to? He's writing to those who claim to be believers. He wasn't talking about the Gentiles or the lost. He's talking about people who show up at church every week. He's talking about people who show up to the Bible studies. He's talking about people that you may stand beside and worship, who claim to be followers of Christ, but they constantly create division and hindrances. Wow. You say, "Well, Ivan, that's tough this morning." I agree with you. That's tough. But listen, if we're going to fulfill the things of God in our own lives, we can't let people who are not on the same page with the Holy Spirit keep us back. And we do our best to drag them along sometimes. We do our best. Remember the old saying, tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on? Sometimes we have to do that with our friends. Sometimes we have to do that with our family. And we just drag them along with us. But sometimes the weight of dragging them along becomes so great to bear that we can no longer be effective in what God's called us to do when trying to drag someone along. Listen, the Bible tells us to be careful if they're putting obstacles in your way. And this is another thing that we need to discuss this morning. If they're having teaching that is contrary to the Word of God, teaching that is contrary to the Bible. You see, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe in the infallible Word of God. That God breathed His Word upon men and men recorded it for a purpose. Because God had called them to do that. If there's teaching that's going against the Bible, listen, people make mistakes. We had this discussion in Bible study Wednesday night. Sometimes people have a misinterpretation. And that happens, and they need to be corrected. But if you're following someone who constantly is taking the Bible and twisting it and turning it and making it into something that it's not claimed to be, then maybe it's time to walk away from them. Maybe it's someone you watch on television. Maybe it's someone you follow on the internet. But if they're teaching things that are contrary to the Scripture and to the Word, listen, the Bible specifically tells us in Paul's writings to keep away from them. Listen, it's hard sometimes. You know what the prerequisite to knowing if someone is teaching the wrong thing is? To know what the right thing is, correct? The prerequisite to knowing if it's wrong is to know what the right thing is. And listen, I challenge you this morning. If you're following anybody or listening to anyone who takes one verse at a time and makes a doctrine out of it, to challenge it. Because the Bible wasn't written one sentence at a time, one verse at a time. It was written in passages. And we can all take one passage or one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. Every one of us can. But that's not what the Bible was meant to be. It's meant to be a guide. Listen, don't let others be divisive. If they claim to be a follower, say, "Come on, let's follow together. Let's work together." But if they're putting obstacles in your way, hey, think about it. Pray for them. Pray for them that God will speak to them. And don't let others lead you against what you know to be true in God's Word. Separate yourselves. So the first thing this morning is distance yourself from division. Stay away from divisive people. The second thing this morning is this: greet believers in Jesus Christ. Greet believers. Follow up with them. Check on them. Greet those that are followers. Verses 21 through 24, there's so many greetings that Paul is sending. And I love how Paul just calls them out and singles them out by name. And he talks about the great things that they've done. And Paul sends this greeting to the church of Rome on behalf of all of his companions, those that were with him. But listen, these were not all pastors or great speakers. These weren't just the disciples or the apostles. These were just ordinary Joes. It was just your average Joe. In verse 21, we see him begin to give his greetings about his associates. Listen, they weren't family members. These were believers, people who had jumped into the cause. And he's putting out his greeting. But why is he greeting them? And why is he calling them out in this passage? It's simple this morning. Encouragement. One of the things that we need to walk away from in this passage is this. We're called to encourage one another. Admonishment. Everybody say admonishment. That's a big biblical term, right? You don't use that in your typical language. Hey, I admonish you today, right? Most of us don't get up in the mornings and say, dear, I admonish you to fix me breakfast, right? That's not how we live our lives. That's not how we talk. But it's a great word. We admonish one another to spur them on in the faith, to push them forward. Hey, if you do that, let me know how that works out for you, right? I see people turn into their spouse. I'm doing that tomorrow, right? Oh, thanks. Breakfast at their house. All right, fantastic. But we don't speak that way, but it's such a great term to grasp hold of that we're being admonished on in our faith. And listen, sometimes when we admonish, it's not always a good thing because it's like correction and discipline. And sometimes it's like, ooh, that hurt a little bit because that was to me. That's something I need to work on. That's something I need to take care of. But Paul's admonishing other believers. And he's lifting them up. He's reaching out to them and saying, hey, you're doing a great job. I know the tide is against you. I know the government. You got to remember, in this day and age, the government was trying to shut down faith in Jesus Christ. The government was trying to stop it, and it was spreading like wildfire. It would be like our modern-day China. If you don't know the numbers, on any given year, 40,000 believers are put to death in China. On any given year. Just wrap your mind around that this morning, church. It would only take 3 years to wipe out Bay County. That puts it in better perspective. In 3 years, there would be no one else here. 40,000 a year. Paul's calling to them saying, I know the government's cracking down on you. I know they're taking you out back and beating you. I know they're flogging you. I know they're embarrassing you in the street and they're throwing rocks at you. I know these things are happening, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know these things are taking place, but listen, you're doing a great job. You're doing great things for the kingdom. And here's what's awesome. Everybody is hearing about all the great things you're doing. Man, I would have loved to be sitting there in that room with Paul, whether a jail cell or what. I would have loved to see the look on his face. I just believe this morning when he started talking about believers and those followers, he would light up. Because something inside of him knew that this faith that was being propagated was going to cover the entire world. He knew. He knew that there was something going to take place that would be greater than anything he had ever contributed to. And it would be those that he taught. It would be those that were under his tutelage that would take this faith and push it on. Seeing the great acts of Jesus Christ take place. Listen, he's detailing to those who have been saved and those who have furthered the cause. He's detailing them. He's laying it out to them. You're doing a wonderful job. Don't give up. I know it's hard. Keep pressing forward. I know these people are looking for you. Don't worry about it. Greater is he that's in you. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry. Cast your cares on Christ. He still loves you. He's moving things forward in your life. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. So what do we take from this morning? Greeting believers. Here, let me ask you this question. Who did you encourage this past week? Just mull that over for a moment. How did you handle relationships this past week? Who did you lift up in the cause? And if you say, well, Ivan, you know, I'm really busy. Me too. Well, you don't understand. I'm kind of personal. Okay. Well, you know, you're really outgoing and loud. Right? And I'm just not that kind of person. Okay. Do you need to be outgoing and loud to send a text? Do you need to be flamboyant and funny to put a message on someone's Facebook? Do you need to be any of those things to sit down old school and actually write out a card and drop it in the mail? Right? Now it's a little harder to go to someone face to face. It's a little bit more difficult to walk up to them and say, "Tommy, man, you're doing awesome. Thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom. Colin, man, this week, I know God is doing great." That's a little bit more difficult. I understand that. But it's not that hard to pat somebody on the back and say, "God loves you and he's got a plan for you." How hard is that? Listen, who did you encourage this week? How did you handle relationships this week? Did you give ear to the one who needed it? Listen, it's not that hard to listen. It's not that hard to sit there and listen. It's not that hard to tell someone, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you this week. I'm going to check up on you in a couple of days. So here's some homework this week. What can you do this week to do a better job of encouraging others? Write it down. Man, I'm going to send 5 people a text this week. I'm going to send 5 note cards out. I'm going to send 4 or 5 emails out this week. I'm going to even make a phone call to little Joe Bob. I hadn't seen him in months. I'm going to check in on him, just see what's happening." It's not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do. Listen, what is something you can do this week to lift up a brother or sister in Christ? That's what Paul is saying. When he's sending greetings, he's saying lift them up. Tell them they're doing amazing. Tell them that God is on their side. Listen, it's not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do. You know, if you have a hard time with that, make you a big bumper sticker. Stick it on the back of your car. Smile. Jesus loves you. Right? Start somewhere. Right? Start somewhere. But then don't speed and cut through parking lots. All right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I used to do that too, right? But it's not that hard to make a difference right where you are. It's not that hard. Ask God to show you. Man, be purpose this week. Say, "God, will you show me between now and next Sunday? Show me one person's face that you want me to minister to. God, put their name in my heart. God, do whatever it takes. When I get home, have them standing in my yard," right? If that's what you need. God, show me that person that I can reach to and connect with and that I can greet as a brother and sister and tell them they're doing something great for the kingdom. Stay away from division. Greet your brothers and sisters. Encourage them. And the last point I want to talk about this morning is this. Give glory to the God of all creation. Listen, I love this, how Paul wraps things up. One of the things that I love about this is that, have you ever felt like this sin was winning? I don't know, but sometimes I flip on the news and I'm like, how much more of this can we take? You know, spring break rolls around and I'm like, "Dear Lord, help us. How much more of this can we endure?" You see things floating around the internet and all the chaos and the sin, and you're just like, "Lord, help us all." And it may seem like at times that the God of this world is in control, Satan. It may seem like that he's winning and things are overwhelmed. But I will tell you this morning, I will tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is still in control. Let me say it again, church. I will share with you this morning that no matter what's happening around us and what the news is portraying and all this filth and debauchery we see going on, all the murder and chaos we see going on around this globe, Jesus Christ is still in control. God our Father still sits on the throne and he has a purpose and a plan. Listen, it won't be that much longer till he calls those that are his own home. It can't be. Listen, we have to make a decision to follow Christ, even in this difficulty. And what I love, Paul writes this, and he boldly proclaims this, that the God of peace, what did he say? The God of peace will crush, everybody say crush, crush Satan under your feet. Think about that for a moment. The God of peace speaks to us and he says, "Listen, I'm going to crush Satan under your feet." Anybody ever got up and walked around through the house and you look down and there's one of those giant roaches that are like red, the ones that hang out? Palmetto, thank you. The big ones, you know what I'm talking about? If you live down in the cove, you've seen them. They're like monsters, right? Monsters. I mean, I've seen them driving cars down there. I mean, they're huge, right? Have you ever jumped up and you're got something, and you look down and there's this huge bug lurking there, right? And it's running around all this, and you got nothing, and you're barefoot. Anybody ever done? Come on, where you at? I know you did it. Thank you. And what'd you do, right? You did that dance, and you're trying to get them. You got them off the wall, and the next thing you're like, right? We're going to eat in just a few minutes when we're done here this morning. And I know that's not the greatest analogy, but that crush under the feet, imagine applying that to the enemy of this world. Because that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be so simple and so basic when we destroy the one who has ruled this world for years and years and years. When God speaks and says, he is crushed under your feet. Listen this morning, that's a promise to stand upon. If you need something to hang on to this week, hang on to that one. That the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Man, you feel like this week that someone's on your back and you had the weight of the world on your shoulders and things are going wrong and all the stuff was... Listen, it's only going to be a little while that you'll have to endure. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Listen, the evil one cannot and will not win. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter what he does. He cannot and he will not win. Because God is on our side. As Christians, we live in firm confidence. In firm confidence. Everybody say confidence. Man, confidence. That God hears us and will answer our prayer. And listen, it's not over till it's over. So there's no losers in Jesus Christ. And there's no winners with the enemy. Let me say that again. There's no losers in Jesus Christ. And there's no winners in the enemy. You may look around and you may think, how in the world does someone who lives that way and does the things that person does, how do they seem to blossom? How do they seem to... Listen, they may for a little while, but there's no winner with the enemy. There's no winner. You know, there's a passage that says this, that one day the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Listen to me this morning, church. God is speaking to us about what's going to happen. There's no losers with Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 25. It says, now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with the gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, said that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes through faith. To the only wise God be glory forever to Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, the one who will establish you is Jesus Christ. The one who will preserve you and take care of you is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that we go to the Father through. The only one. He's the only way. And everyone has a chance to walk in obedience and faith. Everyone. Everyone. Where will you walk today? Listen, we should all give glory to the only wise God. Creation of all. Lord of all. And God this morning has purposed you for his kingdom. And if you don't walk away with anything else today from this time we share together, God has purposed you for his kingdom right where you are. Right where you don't understand why you're sitting there. And you may have prayed over and over and over, God, get me out of this situation. And all along, God's trying to say to you, I have you there for a reason. I have you there for a reason. I have you there for a purpose. God has purposed for you to be where you are. This morning, I want you to walk away with three things. Get away from divisive people who put obstacles in the way of the things of God. Get away from them. Try to help them, but then get away from them. Paul writes to us and says, stay away. Greet and encourage other believers. This week, God has called you to do that. Listen, if every one of us in this room, everyone in this room, just touch five people. Just five people. Look at the power we have among us. If every one of us just get out there and encourage five people to continue on in the faith, to lift them up, to pray with them, just five people. Look at the power we have in this room. Get away from division, greet and encourage others. And the last thing, this week, make your life one that gives glory to the God of all creation. Make sure that you're giving glory to the God over all. Listen, you've called to lift up his name. You've been called to follow his voice. You've been called to walk upon his path. Lift him up in everything you do this week. Let's pray together this morning.